You can tell Luke's excited about being here. He was halfway up to the pulpit before, you know, Tim got up here to pray. So, But we are privileged to have Luke and Aaron with us this morning. As I mentioned earlier, they work with Word of Life in South Africa, I think primarily involved in discipleship ministry. And I know Luke and Aaron love the Lord, and they love the Word, and they're excited about being here to share with us. So I don't know who's first or whether we're tag-teaming or this or what, but come on up.
Thank you so much there, Pastor Jeff. It is such a privilege to be here with you guys this morning. Huyamora Himiente. Who handed? Anyone got at that? I just said, good morning, congregation, how are you doing? Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's Afrikaans from South Africa. So here's the thing. I know we just prayed, but I would like to pray again. And I love it when we as brothers and sisters in Christ can come before the throne of grace and talk to our Father. And you know, and our Lord Jesus has said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And so let's just take a moment again right now and just go before the throne of grace before we dive in. Father, we are just so thankful for the wonderful privilege that it is to be here. And just what a wonderful privilege it is to be the family of God. And we think of the verse that says, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And so, God, we just want to come before your throne today, and we just want to thank you so much that not only are you our King, but you are our Father. And we thank you so much for your Spirit that you have given to us. Father, we want to thank you so much for our Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the price that you paid when you went upon that cross for us. And how you bore our sin in your body on the tree, and you died and you paid the penalty that we rightfully deserve to pay, but you paid it in our place. And we are just beyond amazed and just overwhelmed at that wonderful, wonderful truth. And not only did you die, but you rose to life, and now you're seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and we just want to praise you and we want to thank you. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that your word is accurate and it's reliable and it's trustworthy, and you have revealed yourself to us. And Lord, I just pray that now as we open up your word, I pray that each and every one of us, that our hearts will be open and attentive to hear what you have to say to us through your word. And Lord, I pray that we will respond in faith and in trust and in obedience to what you are calling us to do. And Lord, I pray that we will not just be hearers of your word and so deceive ourselves, but we will be doers of your word and do what you have called us to do. That we will live a life based off of faith. Faith and trust in you and what you have revealed, not in trusting ourselves. Father, we just want to thank you, and I thank you so much for this congregation of believers here in Lolo. For the Lolo Community Church. And Lord, I pray that you will fill them with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that they may walk in a manner worthy of you, that they'll be fully pleasing to you, and that they'll bear fruit in every good work and increase in the knowledge of you and be strengthened according to your might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to you who has qualified them to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Thank you so much for them. Thank you for this time that we have together. Lord, we just ask that you will speak to our hearts, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's always such a wonderful privilege and blessing to be here. And I come into the church and I sit down and I look across the congregation, and memory after memory comes to my head. Because I look and I just see so many people whom the Lord has used to touch my life and be an instrument of his grace in my own walk with God, And I look at it through camp and through Valley Christian and through coming here to BTCP and sitting under Pastor Jeff's teaching and all these different things. God has used that in a huge way in my life. And it's something that I just can't help but thank the Lord for. And it makes me think in the book of Ephesians, Paul is writing to the Ephesian church, and I love what he says here. And if you have time, I would encourage you to potentially read the whole chapter. But in chapter 1, he gets down here in verse 15, and this is what he says. For this reason. I hear the page is still moving, so I'll wait for a second. Man. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. Now, when Aaron and I, when we think of Lolo Community Church, we think of a church of people who have faith in our Lord Jesus and love for all the saints. We think about how God is using you as a congregation and as a church to be a bright light in this dark community, in this dark society, and we can see that your faith and your love for the Lord is very evident in your life. And it's something that we just can't help. And Paul is talking to the Ephesian church. He says, I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints. And then he says this, I do not cease to give thanks for you. Remembering you in my prayers. And so Paul is thanking the Lord for the Ephesian church. And Aaron and I, we just thank the Lord for you guys. And for your testimony that you are a people who have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and you have a love for all the saints. And it's not always easy. But it's amazing because as I come here, I look and I see face after face of people who have faithfully day in, day out, year in, year out, continue to be faithful to what God has called them to do from God's word and to love those who are around them. And it's something that, along with Paul, we just thank the Lord when we remember you in our prayers. And it says this, and this is how he prayed for them, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as a head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's quite the prayer, isn't it? That was Paul's prayer life. This is a prayer that Paul prayed. And it's exciting because God has preserved it within his text. And so we can look at it and we can say, okay, well, the Apostle Paul, whom the Lord used to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, what are some things that he would pray for? And this is what he was praying for. And he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. That we'll continue to grow in our wisdom and understanding what he has revealed to us in our knowledge of him, that we'll come to know the Lord Jesus more. And it goes on, and he says this, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So he wants us as believers to understand a little bit of the richness of being the children of God, of being called saints. And this is what it goes on. It says, having the hearts of our the eyes of our hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And then it says, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. I love that. The immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. The power that he has given us through his Holy Spirit. I think of in Philippians, where Paul is talking about in Philippians chapter 3, and he's talking about all these things that could be counted good of him. He was, you know, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he had all this stuff. And he says, I count all of these things as loss. And he's like, he's taking his life and he's saying, here's the measure of my life. And I count them all as loss compared to the immeasurable greatness of the power that is working in us. And then it says, the greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. What he's saying is, for everyone who has trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior, no longer trusting ourselves, but made a decision to trust in Jesus and him alone, the very Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now comes and lives in us. That's immeasurably great. That's beyond measure. It's beyond any comprehension. The very power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is working within our bodies as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's incredible. You know, because if there was a dead person up here, and all of a sudden we go and we get this machine and we pack all the power of the world in this machine and we zap that person, are they going to raise to life again? No way. But what he's saying in his prayer is that the eyes of our hearts will be open so that we know the hope that we have, because a power that was great enough to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus Christ himself, is indwelling within us. Now, we live in a world where we face a lot of enemies and a lot of struggles and a lot of challenges. And that's something that Paul highlights towards the end of Ephesians, where he highlights that our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the authorities within the spiritual realm. And so he starts the book and he says, I want you to understand the amount of power and the hope that we have because of the resurrected Christ and his Spirit living within us. And he goes on and he progresses throughout the book, and then at the end he's like, you know, we're in a battle, and the only way that we're going to be effective and conquering in this battle, and not on the defense but on the offense, is through that very Spirit. Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. And so the thing about it is we come here today as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we face all these different oppositions to the Christian faith within our culture, within the society at large, within our day-to-day life. It is not popular to be a Christian. But what a wonderful encouragement that we receive here from the Apostle Paul. And the amazing thing that for Aaron and I, as we come alongside and we see this church, we see your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. And our prayer is that in a mighty way that you will experience that more and more, the immeasurable power of his greatness. And here's the thing, just as here in Lolo and in Montana, there's a huge need for the gospel. There's a huge need all over the world. And that's one of the things that I appreciate about this church, is because you are a very missions-minded church. And it's incredible to see your heart and desire to see this hope being spread throughout the nations. And in the midst of that, we're just so thankful to the Lord for your guys' partnership through prayer and then different individuals supporting us in the work that the Lord has called us to do in South Africa. And we are just so amazed to see his work, the work of his Spirit, taking his word and changing people's lives. And if you'll just turn a page over to chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. I want to highlight a verse here, because this verse really embodies what Aaron and my desire and our purpose for the ministry in South Africa is. And so if you'll read with me down in verse 11, this is what it says. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers for this reason: to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceit. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Our desire is to fulfill what verse 12 says: to equip the saints for the work of ministry. The Lord has given different leadership roles within his body, and he's put different people in places of service. So really, it's not even leadership roles, it's servant roles. And these servants are put in place for the whole goal of equipping each of the other believers for the ministry. And then he goes on to say, once that's happening, the body is going to continue to grow and mature. And it's going to look like a lot of different things. And it's going to become a mature body, not tossed to and fro. It's going to be a body that's speaking the truth in love and being joined together, and there's going to be unity. And so our desire and our goal and our prayer is that the Lord will use us to help equip the saints for the work of the ministry. To help in South Africa come alongside these South Africans and help equip them so that they can be effective in the work of the ministry. And there's a number of different ways that the Lord has opened up this opportunity for to be a part of this ministry of equipping. And so if we can pull that up, perfect, great. Technology, fancy stuff. So, yeah, just want to show a couple of different, yeah, perfect. And this works, this is great. So just want to show a couple of different, man, yeah, Pastor Jeff, this is, no, it's wonderful. Yeah, Pastor Jeff, this is great. Man, he's hating on me for wanting to come up here in the minute. I got to find something. No, not hating. Okay. Oh, no, it's cool. All right. It was like I was at a basketball game. Put me in, coach. Put me in. No, I'm just kidding. If the shoe fits. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have my beautiful wife, Erin. So for those of you who don't know, this is my beautiful wife, Erin. Erin Lacey, and she's going to come up. And what we're going to do is we're just going to share about a couple of the different areas of involvement that the Lord has opened up for us to be involved in South Africa, and how it ties in with this ministry of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And so Aaron's going to first talk about our involvement in the local church.
Hello. In English, not Afrikaans, so we're not there yet. But yeah, it's just wonderful because as we were here last time, we were talking about how we wanted to go and mentor students, and the Lord has allowed us to do that by His grace. One thing we weren't super sure on going over immediately, we weren't sure the exact dynamics of the churches that were already there. But it was our prayer that the Lord would allow us to be plugged into a local church in South Africa, so that as we teach these young people to be youth leaders and to be involved in their local church, that we also would be doing it personally, because we also need that opportunity to serve faithfully in a body and have that accountability and encouragement. And so the Lord provided a church that we're able to go to each Sunday for the most part and be involved with the youth and the children's ministry, and then also just get to know South Africans and learn the dynamics of being a Christian over there and what they're facing and things like that. So it's been a really good privilege of being a youth leader and a Sunday school teacher over in South Africa as we're teaching these other students how to do that as well.
And so on top of the different ministries of being a youth leader and Sunday school teacher, the Lord has opened up other opportunities for the whole goal of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And so there's a picture, as you can see up on the screen. The guy in the green, his name is Victor. He's an Afrikaans, South African young man. And not this last Easter, but the Easter before, he came into our church, and he was high. He had been addicted to crystal meth and was at the point where he was taking drugs pretty much every hour, or even more than that on crystal meth. And for some reason, it's just, we look at it and we see God's providence, but the Lord brought him to the church that day, and he didn't want to come inside because he thought that there would be like a lightning bolt that would come down and strike him. But he did come in, which was amazing. And then afterwards, the Lord opened up an opportunity to share the gospel with him. And so he was able to share the gospel with him, and at that point, he ended up turning and trusting in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And it was just incredible to see God's work in his life since that point. I think of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. And Victor is a testimony of this, because from that time, another family in the church brought him in, and he started living with them, and then he started going through a Christian rehab program, which before he had come to know Christ, he had gone to a number of different rehabs, but none of them ever stuck. They never sticked. Stuck? No, sticked. Yeah, stuck. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, trying to. That's a little bit of Afrikaans. They're stuck. No, it's not. But so he had gone to a rehab before, and then the first time he was clean for 7 days, and then he relapsed. And then he went again, and he relapsed after just 1 day. But then he came to know Christ, and right now we're just so amazed. He's been clean for over 300 days. Almost, and he's coming to the point where he's been clean for about a year. And the incredible thing about it is he's spending time in God's Word each and every day, and he's getting involved in ministry. As you can see up there, he came with us on a mission trip down to Cape Town, and that's him sharing the gospel with a number of people who are struggling with similar things to what he was struggling with. And so it's just incredible to see through the local church this whole idea of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Victor came in, he didn't know Christ, he came to know Christ, and now he's out there and he's ministering and he's sharing the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we really thank the Lord for that.
What fills most of our days is interacting with the Discipleship Training Center. And so up until this point, our focus has been those students. The students come through the program for 1 year, and they dedicate a year of their life for the study of God's Word to build a foundation so that they can become an influence to their community that they go back to. So we pray that it's a missionary factory, that it's South Africans coming to learn God's word and then taking it back to South Africans or wherever the Lord would take them. We're not sure. But it's amazing because a church down there, that's down there. That's South Africa. Okay. Anyway, so a church down there has started a Bible Institute, and so Word of Life has come alongside them to help with the home life of it. And so they go to this school 4 days a week, and then they live with us. So we're kind of like the older brother, sister, mom and dad figure kind of thing for them throughout the week. So we cook together, we clean together, we talk about our homework, we do life together. We go to church together, sometimes in different areas with other staff members or things like that. Sometimes they're able to return on the weekends to go to their home churches, but some, because of the distance that they're from their home, they're not able to do that every week. But the goal is, with the diversity of Johannesburg where we are, we just see that as a massive potential for them to not only reach South Africans, but maybe even other African countries, as most of them know more than 3 languages. It's just incredible. So our curriculum and everything is all based in English because that's the common denominator between all 11 official languages of the land. But we have it balanced in 3 principles: head, heart, and hands. So they get head knowledge by going through the Bible Institute curriculum and the Bible classes and different things to prepare them for ministry. But as we all know, it's not just enough to know information. We have to have opportunities to see that connect with our everyday life if it's really what we believe. And so we pray that it would penetrate to the heart. And as we learn the truth, that we'd learn how to work it out together. So each student is matched up with a mentor, some South Africans, some of the American staff, and other people. They're working with us. But that they could just kind of talk through, okay, so this is what's going on in my life. This is what I'm learning in class. How can I live it out? How can I connect these dots? And sometimes it's sticky, sometimes it's easy, sometimes they just need help, you know, getting to that point of saying, yes, this is what God is asking me to do. Or, you know, and sometimes it's slow response, sometimes it's quick, but because we live with each other, it's a lot of times kind of quick. And it's a constant thing. But it's head, heart, and then hands, giving them plenty of opportunities throughout each week to reach out into the community that Word of Life is in, and then also going to other areas of South Africa and surrounding countries like Mozambique and sometimes Zimbabwe. So they go on mission trips, they lead camps, they do all kinds of things. They have opportunities to influence other youth in the area and in their local church as well. So,
a quick story about how the Lord has been using this ministry to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You can look at the picture up there, and I guess that would be probably on your right side, the guy in the green with the big smile. His name is Nestor, and it was incredible to see God's work in Nestor's life. So we moved to South Africa in December of 2013, and so down there in December, it's summertime, and so we have summer camp at that point. And so in December, we had camp, and you know, I love camp, and the prices here could tell you. But it's incredible the work that God does at camp. And so Nestor came to camp, and he had been addicted to different drugs and partying and all these different things. On the second day of camp, on the Tuesday, was able to sit down with him and be able to share the gospel. And God really just worked in his heart and in his life. He ended up turning and trusting in Jesus Christ as his Savior. So that was in December. And then January, we started a new year of the Discipleship Training Center. And so we had contacted his pastor and was in touch with them, and it ended up being a good fit for him to come and study with us for the year. So he came in January. He came to know Christ in December. He came and started living with us in January. He went through the whole year and continued to learn and grow in his walk with the Lord. In the second picture, you'll see Nestor's on one side and then the guy on the other side. His name is Ayanda. So a couple of months into Nestor's living with us to be a part of the Discipleship Training Center, we took him out on a little mission trip about 3 hours away from where we were at, and we were doing a camp there with a local church. While we were there, Nestor went up to Ayanda and ended up sharing the gospel with Ayanda. And Ayanda trusted in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And it was just incredible, because that wasn't the end, because Ayanda continued to grow as he was plugged into the local church in that area. And then the next year, he came to the Discipleship Training Center. And on the last slide, or in the last picture there, you can see a picture of Ayanda.